Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Rosecast, the number one Bachelor Recap podcast hosted by a male and racial best friend duo. We can call this, would you say, the finale halftime show, AB?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, I suppose.
Presented by, I don't know, Native. We'll say Native deodorant, promo code Rosecast, halftime show. AB, you just watched part one. Were you entertained? Were you not entertained?
I was extremely entertained, Rim. It was golden TV.
Unbelievable. Again, we're back to I burst out laughing several times during the episode.
Oh, yeah. It was very
which
funny.
I haven't done in a while.
Especially Mrs. Weber had me rolling on the floor laughing at most of the time with her actions.
We'll get to that. Disclaimer, the opinions expressed in this episode do not reflect those of our advertisers, podcast network, family members, and friends. Solely those of the individual podcasters should be taken with a grain of salt. Given our limited exposure to the people on the TV screens in a highly manipulated environment. Having said that, here are the nominees for Best Actress in a Limited Series or TV Movie. Laura Dern, Big Little Lies. Regina King, Watchmen. Barbara Weber, The Bachelor. Amy Adams, Sharp Objects. And of course, a couple years late, Claire Foy, The Crown. And the winner is, AB, Barbara Weber. Oh. Yay. This is Barbara's first nomination and first win. She played the role of distressed mother who wants the best for her son in season 24 of The Bachelor. That's the main reason we did this episode. I just want to do that bit before.
That's well done.
Wasn't going to let that bit go to waste. It wouldn't be as good on Wednesday.
I was kind of wondering why you wanted to do this episode. Now I understand. Well,
it's because of her. I want to talk mostly about Barbara. The dates, uneventful. The what occurred, not surprising. Peter's family, a lot to chew on there. They gave us a lot of content to discuss.
More than ever in terms of a family's involvement in everything and needing to pry into the lives of these three people.
Pull the marionette strings. All right, so we're in the middle of Outback Australia. Northern Territory, Alice Springs, dead center. Peter is an ant, and they're putting him under a magnifying glass in the middle of this outback. AB, it's hot.
It is hot.
Might as well be on Mars. We're introduced to Peter's family again when Peter's chit-chatting with him. Our first glimpse of what was to come was when Peter's mom reacted to him showing up as if he was like a soldier making a surprise homecoming, returning from war. It was like you knew he was coming.
And you saw him after filming started. It hasn't even been really that long. I assume you've FaceTimed multiple times that we've seen on camera, not including the other times you tried to get on camera on FaceTime.
He was alive. Yeah. All right. So Peter is talking with his family. He brings him up to speed. And he says, there's two people left. One is Madison.
You met
her. The girl they met at their vow renewal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder.
You met her and loved her. Just to go back a little bit. You guys loved her.
Just FYI, Peter's parents leveraged his status as the bachelor to televise their own vow renewal ceremony in celebration of their 31st anniversary, which is an anniversary of no significance.
Just to be clear.
It seemed like a while ago, but that's who we're dealing with here. And the other one is Hannah Ann, the recipient of his first impression rose. Did you find this strange, AB, that the first thing Peter's mom wanted to know was whether or not the final two have said I love you yet? Did that seem like an odd first question?
Yeah, that's a question that someone that watches the show would ask. Like, if me and you were talking, I'd be like, well, who has he said I love you to any girls yet? Not if I wasn't watching, you know, that'd be a question I'd ask you. It wouldn't be a question I'd ask my son about his two potential
Certainly
girls.
Not the first question.
No, not the first question at all.
I mean, on the one hand, you want the person your son is about to propose to also love him. On the other hand, maybe inquire about, like, the bones of their relationship, why they get along, what he likes about this rather than...
Something about them? The person we're about to meet? Should I know anything about them?
Rather than just, like, do they check these boxes? That... These are boxes that don't apply...
These are the bachelor boxes.
These are the bachelor boxes. These aren't the real life boxes. No. This is not the same as real life. Hannah Ann has said, I love you, Peter reveals, but Madison has not. Peter then tells his parents and brother about how he was intimate with a few of the final three, even though Madison specifically asked him not to. Stated that she wouldn't be able to continue if he did that. What did you make of this conversation?
Just a heads up, guys. Madison told me not to have sex with anyone, but I went ahead and did that. So it might be a little fishy when she comes in here. Just to be clear, don't mention it.
We're not at the same... What did you make of their reaction, AP? Also unusual, in my opinion.
Peter kind of explains to them they need to understand how much Maddie means to him, for one. The mom is acting like, I don't know if that, what you just described to me, Peter, is going to work for me. Okay?
It's a big issue.
What you just said, that she gave you that ultimatum, that doesn't really work for me.
Even the little brother chimes in. He says, if that's something you can get past, great. Then that's something we'll look past and look forward to getting to know the person.
It's just
obviously we trust him. Norman. We'll look past.
You don't need
you
to do anything.
You guys don't even need to be looking. Don't look. There's no reason for you to be looking past anything. This is him and her. It's not a character flaw you need to overlook.
This whole family is just incredibly invasive into what's going
on. What a word, AB.
That's a good word. Wow. Incredibly invasive in the Peter's life. In my opinion, your significant other, it's great if everyone gets along. You probably wouldn't want to marry someone that they don't get along with, but stuff like this that doesn't involve them, it's none of their business.
It doesn't
like,
involve
as long
them
as
at
they're
all.
A good person, like, I don't think you should be bringing up concerns like that. That has nothing to do with you.
Or if the potential partner for your sibling or son or daughter makes them over the moon happy, and that's who they want to spend the rest of their life, that should be your chief concern.
Yeah, just happiness.
Peter describes Hannah Ann as, quote, the biggest sweetheart you'll ever meet. And his parents say, wow, she sounds just like you. And at this point, I started to realize, like, I think maybe they think too highly of their son. Like, their son only deserves perfection. And anything less is unacceptable. Hit the road. Anyway, Hannah Ann meets the parents. And we're just going by what we... big disclaimer, just going by what we saw on TV. They might not be like this in real life.
Okay.
Just disclaimer. Just covering the bases.
I'd like to point out, Peter, for the first time, admits he's in love with both women in a cutscene right around here as well.
Because he hasn't said, I love you to Hannah Ann. But he has said it to Maddie. Hannah Ann has said it to him, but Maddie hasn't said it to him. See?
He hasn't said it to Maddie. He said it to the camera about Maddie. But he has let it... I don't think he said, I love you specifically to Maddie.
Hard L? Okay.
Hard L. Maybe something close, but nothing... This is the first time I've heard him say, I love this person specifically. Okay. And he's talking about two people.
Hannah Ann meets the parents. She cries immediately upon entering the room.
Seems really emotional, right? Right off the jump. And I almost took that as her kind of seeing, being able to read the writing on the wall, Rim, that she wasn't the favorite right now. I don't know. That's how I took this.
When she walked in the room?
She was super emotional for no reason about everything. And she's throughout the episode, and we'll touch on this, but she seems a little like overly okay with it going wrong. Like she's been prepping yeah. herself that she might not be the number one right now. And that's why I took her as so emotional.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. You're damn right it was.
It was. I had nothing to say. I was like, wow, good insight. I thought Hannah Ann nailed these interview questions.
Yeah, she did good. She did really good. She great impression made on the family.
Now, I said interview questions kind of as a slight because she was treating it like a job interview. And what do you do in a job interview? What do some people do in a job interview? They say what they think the person wants to hear.
She's a pageant girl. We've been exactly. saying that all along. So I agree. Did you think it was weird? They sit down right away and Peter's lovey-dovey with her. PDA to the max. Snuggled up, kissing her elbows and stuff.
Nuzzling
when they're asking questions. It just seemed he was trying to show... He was trying to... I don't. How I took this as... You're going to get a lot of this from me today. Me reading Good. Into things that fit Good. My narrative. Okay? It's got to fit my narrative. Me as someone that thinks he likes Madison more...
He's trying to convince himself?
Trying to convince himself.
That's chemistry. Because
he wasn't...
He
hasn't done this type of stuff. It was a weird situation to be showing PDA at that level. They had just met. They're asking serious questions. And he's like rubbing his nose in her arm and stuff.
And it was distracting to the conversation.
It was very distracting.
They're trying to ask her questions and he's like...
If that was me, I'd be shooing him off. Like, I gotta answer these questions.
Come on,
get the hell off
me. Be serious. This is ridiculous. Trying to talk to your parents. You're
making me uncomfortable.
He was acting like they're in the back seat of,
exactly.
At the drive-in.
Yeah.
That won't change our reputation of being middle-aged. But anyway.
Yeah.
She answered without hesitation these questions, despite being distracted by the hornball. They weren't surface-level answers. For example, Pete's dad goes, what's been your favorite part? She could have been, said skydiving or something dumb.
Something specific, yeah.
But they're about the relationship she has with Peter. Hannah Ann's talking about how much she loves Peter, and they're snuggling, and Peter's mom is just, she loves what she's seeing. She says, it's you and me, Pete Sr. I see your dad and myself 30 years ago. It's been 2 minutes.
All that she saw convinced. Was the nuzzling of Peter on Hannah. That's the only thing they had seen at that point.
AB, most parents we see on this show, they have some concern about the insane process or the weightiness of the decisions that their son or daughter has to make. And, mind you, measured warnings about the difficulty of marriage. Right? They're like, it's not all great.
Absolutely.
This woman, Barb, is convinced that Hannah Ann and Peter are already destined for a life of bliss. Her mind is made up, just like hers.
I would like to point out, I think going into this, she knew a lot more about Hannah Ann than other mothers did. Because I believe she has read up on the spoilers, Rim. She knew all about... She knew Hannah Ann was coming beforehand. She read up about her. She loved Hannah Ann more than she loved Madison before they even met. There's no other explanation for her to be this head over heels with Hannah Ann with what we saw from their meeting. This is a spoiler girl. She was all over the internet. I believe that with all my heart. She was prepped before this.
And apparently her and Peter have been talking.
They've been talking all the time.
Every step of the way. he gave her the first impression, Rose. We made that joke early in the season when they were FaceTiming. Like, she's filling out her bracket. Yeah. So that in her mind is like... But anyway, Barb and Hannah Ann talking. And Barb says, I'm looking for someone that's going to love my son, blah, 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 a bunch of other qualifiers. Barb, you're not looking. Peter is the one who's looking. You don't need to be looking for anything... It's his decision. It's not like, well, these are the criteria that you need to meet if you're going to marry my... He's 27 years old, AB.
I hear you. Your job is to meet her, be nice to her, see if there's any red flags. That's it.
provide a little bit of guidance, some
maybe
perspective.
Maybe feedback. Maybe. Maybe. In the situation that these two girls, both sweethearts, there needs to be no, like, both of them are fine. You'd be fine marrying both of them. You don't need to provide any feedback.
You want to tell them if there's real warning signs, she does this or this, and it's like not acceptable, and you're not going to like this, but
exactly,
like you said,
fine. She took it as, and I don't think I said this well earlier, but a parent's job isn't to say who they like the best, because it's not about who you, the person, like. You aren't your son or daughter.
No.
It's about,
you don't have
when
to
you meet
them,
it's about looking for any red flags that you need to bring up. It's not about just who you like. And I think she took it as, who do I like the best?
Who can I be friends with?
Who's going to make my life better?
Yeah.
That's how she was acting.
Next quote. This woman is a quote machine.
Absolutely.
She
just
was firing off the quotes.
She's great.
She said, I was very entertained by her presence. I found many of the things that she said to be preposterous, but I'm glad she was on TV last night. That's why we're here right now. It's important for you to never change him and him never to change you. AB, I would like to know if you agree with this, because it seems to me that part of securing a life partner is finding someone who challenges you and makes you better in different ways and inspires you, not someone who treats you like a museum painting locked behind glass so you can't alter or change, can't touch it.
Nobody's perfect, Rim.
No.
Nobody's perfect.
Peter Weber and the eyes of his mother.
You should look for someone that pushes you to do things that you, and be a better person than you were before you met that person. It isn't just to be the same exact, like someone that is going to fall in line with how you've lived your life. Stuff Peter's done and characteristics of Peter, I'm sure could get better. And she should be looking for someone that helps Peter become the man that he's destined to be.
Or he hopes to be.
Yeah.
Of course. Peter's mom already thinks he is that person.
Finished product.
He's met maximum. He's at maximum capacity.
Peter.
Cannot improve upon this person. Hannah Ann wants Barb to know how much she loves her son. She's crying a little bit.
Emotional.
She really.
She was emotional.
And I felt sincerity.
I did too.
From it.
Yeah.
She wishes she could get the same love in return, but understands she can't because he's still got, you know, other relationships going on. Barb responds by saying, let's not talk negative things. Let's talk positive. For example, how much you love my son. It's the world to me. And then that's it. They don't really talk much more after that. Barb is totally sold on Hannah Ann.
Absolutely.
Pete Sr. and Hannah Ann. Great line here. This is more than just feelings. This is future. That could be the tagline for the series. He's given me the gift of what it feels like to love someone. Reminder, AB. Hannah Ann claims she's never been in love before, which is fine, but this is fantasy romance incubator, not the real world, and like you've said before, it's easy to fall in love when you're jet-setting across the globe having exotic dates.
Absolutely.
So just a note, I will say. She's choking up a little bit. I think Pete Sr. was sold as well, completely sold. What did you make of Hannah Ann saying it was love at first sight with Peter?
A little surprising to me. The connection hasn't always been there with these two, where I've seen those sparks the entire way.
Agreed. I mean, I steadily dropped her in the power rankings for like 4 weeks in a row, because there's nothing going
Rightfully
on.
Rightfully so, yeah.
The Peets. Pete Jr., Pete Sr. Is there anything lacking with her? Dad wants to know. And Pete says nothing's lacking. He's just torn between
two people. I love someone else more is the way he's torn.
It seems to be the implication.
That's what I read into that.
He said, are you leaning one way or another? And Pete obviously wants to say Maddie.
Yes.
But he can't. He can't say that yet. First off, are you leaning one way or the other is a post both meetings question. You don't ask that after one meeting. You have to meet the other person before you go, you leaning Hannah Ann or what's the deal? I mean, there's no way that Maddie can top this, right? But I thought, you know, we're going to roast the Webbers a lot today, but I thought Peter's dad was the most open to letting Peter make the decision on his own. He provided some good, incredulous look from AB. He provided some decent support, some perspective. We love you. Only want the best. No huge pressure. Just kind of my two cents.
You said one thing in there I completely disagree about, and it's advice. He gave no advice. Nothing.
Did I say advice?
I think he said advice in
there. I sure didn't mean to.
Peter's, I mean, if by he's allowing Peter to make a decision, he provided no feedback at all. He basically just said, you know, we're going to love you. You got a tough decision. Good luck, pal. As his son is obviously racking his brain on this decision, and it's really getting to him at this point.
I think I'll put it this way. His heart was in the right place. I'm not sure I can say the same for others in the building. He just wants to calm the nerves a little bit.
I think he did the opposite. He's basically like, don't blow it.
Wow.
He came almost as far as saying, don't blow it. Good luck. Don't blow it. We'll love you either way.
That's better than nothing, I suppose. But maybe you're right. But that's, you know.
Don't mess this up, Pete.
There's no way we can love anyone as much as we love Ann, so. On the way out, you know, hugging him by Barb, just an absolutely reckless statement. She says, she tells Ann, I feel like I've known you my whole life. That is ridiculous.
That's so
Barb
ridiculous.
Is 35 to 40 years
so
older than Ann.
Ridiculous.
And that totally puts Peter in a completely awkward position heading into the next meeting. I mean, totally reckless to say that
and
given the situation.
For how much you claim to, you know your son and all this and love him, which I don't doubt that, but it seems like you'd be able to read that he was having a real hard time with this process. Like, you haven't even met the other person for the second part of this date yet. And you're willing to make these statements that make it seem like you've already made your decision without even talking to Peter, who's struggling. The guy's struggling. Yeah. Maybe just make it a little easier on him.
I think this is her way of making it easier, making the decision for him.
I'll make the decision for you, yeah.
And given what we've seen on the show this season, his decision-making skills being the number one storyline, you wonder if this has been a common... speculation on my part, a common thing throughout his life, having the choice made for him.
Yeah.
Outside, Hannah Ann tells Peter she loves him, not afraid to say it. She's firing those off left and right with him.
Freely telling him I love you.
Peter, you'll note, does not respond with a similar phrase.
Mm-mm.
Despite
not even
already
falling.
Having done that with, nothing. Responded with no words, honestly.
I just thought Peter was off his game this entire date.
Yeah.
And I think the stuff with Madison was really weighing on his mind. I took that as he liked her a lot more. I don't know if it might have just been, you know, he doesn't even know if she's going to show up for the next date. So he had a lot on his mind.
Well, it's a strange situation because, like you said, don't know if Madison's going to be there the next day. The way he was acting, maybe he was trying to convince himself that he was...
Yeah.
Fine with this option too, when I don't think we've ever felt that Hannah Ann was the choice over Madison for him. All right, let's take a quick break. I expected to be finished by now, but now we have to take a break. This is just going to be a regular episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events of her life, it always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. There's a wide variety to choose from. Some of my favorites are, do you have any keepsakes or heirlooms from your grandparents? And what's the furthest you've ever traveled? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. Take it from me, you'll love their retelling of the stories you already know, and you'll be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After 12 months of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for decades to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. Our family keeps these gorgeous Storyworth books always within reach in the living room. They're great to read through whenever we're together, and I know they'll be passed down through the generations. Believe me, I'm not the only one who loves Storyworth. There are more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of family stories preserved since the company was founded more than 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/rosecast. That's storyworth.com/rosecast to save $10 on your first purchase. Next up, Madison and Peter pre-meeting the family, okay? His words, Peter is so in love with Maddie.
Just a note, before the Hannah date, he said, I'm in love with both girls. Okay, both girls. So he mentions Maddie there. Before this date, he just says, I'm in love with Madison. Specifically, by name. I'm so in love.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a note.
These are important things to note for those keeping score at home.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking a little bit. Madison's not doing good. She's still kind of struggling with what happened the night of their would-be fantasy suite. She says, I feel like you put your feelings and your needs and your wants above mine, and that was really hurtful. She says if he proposed that day during Fantasy Suites week, she would have said yes.
Before she found out,
yeah, the daytime, when they're on top of a building in Gold Coast, Australia, I would have said yes to Peter in that scenario also. But, you know, contrasting feelings. Madison's not torn between two people. She's torn kind of between the same guy. Anyway, they go back and forth a little while, you know, trying to understand the other's perspective. What did you make of this conversation, AP, and Madison eventually kind of coming around?
Peter went the route of, you haven't shown me how you felt, and that's why I felt okay doing what I did, is how I took this.
Am I supposed to understand that? What do you mean?
You? Peter said to her,
I'm me.
You?
Yeah.
Peter?
I'm me. I'm not Madison.
Tim,
no, or
Tim
Peter.
Jr. or Peter Jr. Yeah.
Tim Jr.
Peter said to Madison.
Me. Yeah.
Peter said to Madison.
Repeat that.
Peter said to Madison, you're the only person I truly don't know how you feel. So giving me that ultimatum, he's buying wiggle room for himself.
You mean when he said that, he meant you haven't said I love you yet.
You haven't
basically
said I love you.
Okay.
So it was hard for me to take your ultimatum seriously. And also, you also haven't brought up other relationships before. And that kind of threw me off a little bit.
Decent point. We've said this in the season. She was always
eyes on
forehead
the prize.
To forehead with him, eyes on the prize. And then that other physical element came in at the end, and it was a deal breaker when they basically hadn't acknowledged those other things previously.
I found it interesting because I just didn't know how he was going to try to weasel his way out of what he did. And this was a pretty good way.
I wouldn't say weasel.
What do you mean?
He got out of
the
it.
The guy's in hot water rim. Rightfully
so. I think Weasling would have included, I think the word Weasling includes some mistruths, some misdirection a little bit. He acknowledged what he did and was just like, can you get over it? I don't think that's Weasling.
I think he's trying to finagle it to make finagle. Her feel.
Finagle.
I feel like he's trying to make her feel like she's not 100% in the right here. Putting a little of the blame on her, which is why sure. I think it might, it's weaseling is an yeah. okay thing to say about him.
The big turning point came when he reminded her, hey, I was in this situation. I've been in this, your situation. Yeah. And that for some reason was just like, yeah, okay.
You're right.
And then, but it was like nothing, that doesn't change anything really. I mean, she had a request. He didn't adhere to it. And kind of that's that. Eventually, they start kind of low-talking with their heads together, which you knew things were going to end up well when they did that.
Yeah.
As mad as I was at you that night, I didn't want to leave your arms. Love isn't the issue here. To which Peter says, and the issue is? And it's like, have you been paying attention? The issue is. What do you mean? What's
you need her to spell it out for you, Peter? Yeah. She asked you not to have sex with anyone, and then you had sex
she
with two people.
She doesn't have photo evidence.
You cheated on her twice.
Yeah.
That's basically. The issue, Peter.
That is what... And the issue is...
Like, what the hell, Peter?
Did you just wake up from a... Have you been sleepwalking this whole time? Anyway, Maddie, you know, eventually she comes around. Finally, AB, we have a definition of the term fighting in the Bachelor universe. And here it is. You know I'm fighting for this, right? Maddie says. You know me speaking up and choosing not to walk away is fighting, right? So there we have it. When someone says I'm fighting for this relationship on The Bachelor, that's the definition now.
Got it.
Peter makes a little joke about, you know, some anecdote she must have shared with him off camera. And before long, she's smiling and, you know, they're laughing.
Well, what, she got her teeth knocked out in a basketball game and then she came back in the game. It was more than, it's a legendary story about
yeah,
Madison.
True. That's true.
You're selling it short.
Totally poo-pooed that. Obviously, that's an amazing story. It sounded like her dad forced her to go back in the game. I'll say that. I mean, if your child doesn't have her teeth, I don't know what level you're playing at, but it's probably, you can take the loss. Okay. And this is the moment when Maddie reveals that she was going to tell Peter that she loved him during their fantasy suites week date.
So I was a little,
which was kind of buried. I thought that was buried. That was a huge revelation to me.
It wasn't a huge, I don't know, Rim. I took it the other kind of a different way than I think you did. You kind of took it like Peter did. Like that was a big confession
like,
by Maddie.
Nice.
I took it as I don't think she's saying she still loves you.
Yeah,
I'm not
convinced
that she still loves you, Peter. She's just saying I did love you. Now I'm not sure at all if I even like you.
I suppose why even say that though if you're certain you don't? Because then you're just like, oh, see this little shiny thing over here? I was going to give this to you, but nope, not anymore. I'm holding it back here. Now you're just, it's almost a distraction.
I don't know. He took
why
it as,
didn't say it?
He took it as she's saying, I love you. I don't think she specifically
no,
said,
right.
I love you. She said,
I was thinking about it.
I was
it.
Thinking, of, I did love you back at this time. She didn't say, I love you currently. And he took it as, I love you currently.
No, he definitely did. You're right. Because then he tried to like make out with her and she was like,
no,
fuck dude,
that.
I don't think she did. She was like, dude, I don't think you got what I just said. Yeah. But 5 minutes later, everything changed. When Madison went in to meet Peter's family. Let's talk about this first. You'll note Peter's mom, absolutely not over the top with her excitement, doesn't open the conversation. One-armed hug.
Standoffish.
It felt like Peter's mom was meeting Peter's girlfriend who she knew cheated on him. It was like, oh, what'd you do to my son? She didn't do anything. What'd you make of Peter's dad and their discussion about their relationship roadblock?
Peter Sr. asks them to talk about the roadblock and what that was, even though you know what the roadblock was. Peter already told you. Why did you even bring this up? Peter Sr., it's none of any of your businesses. The whole family. This is not your business. And he told you. He already knew. He just wanted to make an awkward conversation. This family is incredible.
We're on the hot seat. On the absolute hot seat.
I can't believe this family.
How'd you feel about that thing he did when you weren't around?
You gotta understand, meeting someone's family is tough, nerve-wracking to begin with. And then you bring up their sex life and this ultimatum that the
first question.
That's the first thing you ask, and it's something you know the answer to. You don't even need, you didn't need this to be answered. Peter told you.
They're not being very accommodating.
No, they're being terrible guests.
This is not an open arms situation. Yeah. Madison explains how it would be hard for her. It would have been hard for her if Peter slept with the others last week, which he did.
Just a bizarre conversation to have to have.
Again, a completely reasonable stance to have. Maybe the only reasonable one in the room.
I asked him not to sleep with two other people, and he did, so we're kind of hitting, we hit a rough patch. We're working through that now.
That wasn't easy, very but reasonable. She loves him. This is when she says, but I love him.
Wow.
Hard L.
Hard L. Yeah.
Which is a
That's different than earlier.
Time to reveal that. Yeah, like you said,
this is the
different.
First time she said that to Peter, basically. How I took it, at least. But maybe you were right earlier, and she meant it earlier. I don't know.
Who knows? We don't. At the end of the day, we're just two guys watch a show. We don't know anything. Maddie's mom, Peter's mom. Excuse me. This woman will never be Maddie's mom. That's never gonna happen. Absolutely, completely apathetic to this revelation from Madison that Madison loves her son. She completely face didn't change at all. She was like, you love him. Okay. Now, when Hannah Ann said this, she almost fell out of her chair. Like that gif of, I don't know, I Love New York or something. I don't know.
You're right, though, about Peter's mom. Peter's mom will let Hannah Ann call her mom. She will not let Maddie do the same have chosen. That's
no,
just
call
the
me
facts.
Barbara, honey. Call me Barbara. Miss Barbara. Yeah.
Mrs. That's Weber, please.
That's an absolute fact.
Hannah Ann, if she is chosen and is the winner, will call Barbara mom immediately.
She might say, don't call me mom, call me Barb because we're friends. That's what it might be.
One of the two.
And then, Madison will have to call her Miss Weber.
Yeah. Mrs. Weber will be all Maddie gets.
Anyway, Peter's parents have grave concerns about this, AB. Madison not wanting him to sleep with other people a week before they get engaged is a red flag to these people. They said this. These are words they said.
I just don't it's crazy. Understand this family. Where are they coming from? By anyone's account, Peter is in the wrong, right?
If either of them are, he's the one who made the choice. I mean, wrong might even be a strong. He definitely did something that she requested he not do. And I don't think her request was completely unreasonable.
But they're acting
in
like.
In their eyes, she is an unacceptable human here. Her presence incredible. Is not wanted because of this request. Peter's dad and Madison are talking and they discuss kind of the differences they have. The first one up seems to be that Peter isn't a big religion guy.
Something we all guessed.
Now, confirming our suspicions, his parents are much more upfront about Peter's lack of interest in religion, from their perspective, than I think Peter was that night.
Absolutely.
If you'll recall, he was just like, maybe. I love you, though.
I'd be interested. Yeah.
I could. We'll talk about it. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Madison explains that she accepted Peter's declaration that he's willing to grow in that area. And then, you know, she cries, almost cries a little bit. She says, I just want what's best for Peter. All good.
Great
from
stuff.
Her, I thought here.
Absolutely.
Peter and his brother. I don't know his name, but his brother says, obviously, you're very physical in relationships. You're a legend in Westlake. King of the skies and the sheets, AB. Peter's Peter. First ballot Hall of Fame. Everyone knows that. What's going on with that, man? That was how this conversation began.
Yeah.
That didn't weird you out at all? That was the first thing he said. I've almost.
Obviously, you're very physical in relationships. That was
that,
funny.
I almost fell out of my chair
that
when he said
that.
Was
very funny, putting Peter on blast. How are you going to deal with not being physical for, I don't know, a year? He's basically saying, as your brother, I don't
can
think.
Can you hold out till you're married?
I don't think you can hold
bro?
Out, you horn dog. That's what he said to him.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
I know you, man.
I know you.
There's no way you can do this.
There's no way. There's no way you can do this. You can't hold out. Not you, Pete. Not the king
not
of the sheets.
Not Pilot. No way. No. Not the king of the sheets, buddy. I don't see it happening. You want to make a bet? That's what this was. This is apparently something his family, Peter's sexual prowess, his family takes great pride in. Recall, they were all cheering during the windmill reveal during Hannah's season.
We love
it. Maybe they're just a super sex positive family. That's fine. But to root for him as if he is an athlete accomplishing a big, setting some sort of record, like he just hit the most home runs in the home run derby, is, I think, a little, to have zero bashfulness about this is a little bizarre to me.
And someone's in your house, not their house, and someone's visiting you right now in your presence that doesn't share the same beliefs. Like, you don't have to make it so weird.
She's big into ministry, bro, and you love popping bottles and VIP. Are you guys going to be able to do this? I mean, can she get behind the velvet rope, if you know what I'm saying? Like, she doesn't live your lifestyle, man. You're Pete Weber from Westlake, baby. Please. My opinion, Peter seemed annoyed that his younger brother was the one asking. He was asking logical questions. These were logical questions.
Oh, yeah.
If this Peter is, and her, yeah.
I'm very happy that his brother brought all this up. This is stuff
these
you
are real
to ask.
Questions that need
like,
to be asked.
Hey, yeah. Peter, I've seen your lifestyle. It's nothing like what you're trying to portray to Hannah, or excuse me, to Madison or Hannah, really, for that matter. I know what you've been doing. You're a womanizer.
This is a man who had condoms. The only items he had in his Mercedes-Benz.
Condoms.
All he had were condoms in
Loads
the glove
of
box.
Them.
That's it. That's the only thing he had. These aren't essential items for transportation.
I know what your life is about, Peter. I don't even think you're ready for marriage, period, is what how I took this. The way you're living, Pete? It's scaring me.
Pete, man, what's going on here? But again, these questions needed to be asked. I think Peter should have had the understanding to ask them of himself at some point along this process. What we're laughing at is that his little brother was the one who's like,
what's going on here?
You don't match up.
He said he gets right off the plane and heads straight to the club, is what he said at one point. Can you imagine? Peter.
He pulls right off.
Maddie's been sitting at home, living her life.
Yeah.
Peter, Maddie and the kids. Peter shows up off his plane and he goes straight to the club. That's what concerns the brother.
It would be a big lifestyle change if he ended up with Madison, and I think that's the point he's trying to get
Absolutely.
Across. Absolutely. To the camera, Peter's brother also calls Hannah Ann, quote, perfect compared to Hannah Ann. He said Hannah Ann.
Yeah,
perfect,
I heard him. I heard the man.
Compared to Madison, who's apparently just riddled with inescapable flaws. No, Madison, there's no way.
Literally the only thing that has changed since the last time they met her, they've met her before and they loved her.
Yes.
Was that she asked their son not to have sex
with other people
for
the
like
week before
week.
They get engaged.
For like 1 week, can you not? And that was so despicable of her to do that it makes...
It's not even funny. It's crazy.
It's insane. Insanity.
The Webbers were brutal to Madison. Not necessarily to her directly. There's a little, they weren't welcoming, but they were brutal to the camera. They were saying things that are like,
Peter's mom,
this is going to be on TV. Peter, she's going to see
this. She's going to see it all. Peter's mom was, we haven't got there yet, but was very rude to Madison. It wasn't just to the camera. She was rude to her. Never seen anything like that.
Maybe you think the compatibility isn't there. We don't think that. Lots of people don't. Or you think maybe Peter would be happier with one compared to the other. But to make Hannah Ann out to be this flawless person with an ideal personality while Madison is capital B bad because she won't completely conform to Peter's lifestyle and worldview is
insane.
Unfair at best. The best way you can characterize that is like very unfair.
Yeah, agreed.
And again, setting Peter up for putting him in a horrible position. Let's go to Barb and Madison.
Ooh.
Barb starts the conversation with, I understand you're very religious, all right? Note the way,
yeah,
the tone.
Talking down.
She made it seem like some character flaws she's working to, like, so I understand you have a gambling addiction, all right? Like, so I understand, like,
I understand.
There's something horrible you have, all right? Like, ugh, all right, we'll deal with that, okay? Straight up says that her and Peter, when it comes to religion, quote, that one is completely different. So again, not the same way Peter characterized it.
I mean, it's, I think it's what me and you thought. We didn't say it. We didn't come out and say it because we obviously don't know the guy, but the way I took it is this guy has nothing to do with religion. Nothing. And that's pretty much confirmed by his mom.
Yeah. Peter's lifestyle, there's a quote. Peter's lifestyle, he socializes, he part, people socialize. What do you mean by socialize is my question. He socializes. We all, everybody. Peter socializes, he parties. You have very different lifestyles.
She seemed to think that people that are religious can't party. Like, I don't understand that. I don't know about that's being a part of the lives that don't match up. We don't know anything about Madison in terms of her, you know,
if anything,
her favorite
activities,
the stuff she likes to do in her free time. We don't know anything about that. The only thing that doesn't match up that we know about is that she is religious and he isn't. I don't think their lifestyles in that sense, we don't know anything about yet.
Some of the most social people I know are active churchgoers.
Absolutely.
And they socialize constantly with those people. It's not like, it's not mutually exclusive. I don't want anyone to change him. He is who he is, and we love him for who he is. Again, this is a parent who thinks their offspring is perfect.
I mean, have you ever heard...
False.
Have you ever heard a mom so adamant that someone doesn't try to make their son party less? I'm just trying to imagine, like...
She wants...
Bradford showing up and...
I'll bleep that.
We'll just say my mom showing up and being like, someone's trying to make me... Like, let's say when I was in college or something, having make me drink less. And she's adamant about not...
No, we love that. We love
we
that
love
about
that character. I love this characteristic about Alex that he likes to party so much.
Someone, why, someone wants AB wants to not play video games so much
I'm
in
just
his
trying
late
to
20s.
Understand where she's coming from. It's so bizarre to me.
And then...
Don't even think about trying to make my son party less. Don't even fucking think about it, Madison. Okay? That's something
golf.
He does. Period. Don't try to change him.
This is even funnier when you say these things out loud. When you're watching, you're like, oh, that's kind of weird.
This
and then
weird.
You're talking about it, you're like, holy smokes.
I'm just trying to envision my mom saying that to someone that's trying to basically help me. Like, if she really was trying to make him party less or whatever, it's not a negative, right?
No. People change as they age, and that's one of the things that people tend to change. Anyway, she went on and on and on, Barb did. Didn't ask Madison any questions. She basically was telling Madison this is the way it's going to be. Peter's perfect.
It got a little heated.
It got a little heat, and Madison had to jump in.
Yeah.
Because Barb wasn't letting her speak. At one point, Barb says, to tell someone else whether he wants to get physical, that's up to him. Like, how dare you politely request that my son not bang another chick the week before he asks you to get engaged to him? Where do you get off asking my son that? It's like, Madison had to be like, hold on. I mean, first off, that's a firmer stance than Peter himself took.
Absolutely.
Like,
way firmer.
Peter understands where Madison is coming from way more than Peter's mom does.
I just don't understand how any of this is any of your business. I just can't. I can't with this lady.
Medicines are like, hey, you know, I'm a person also, and my
feelings matter.
Matter
just as much as your son's.
We're in a relationship, and my expectations of him are valid. And all I said was, hey, this is going to be hard for me if it happens. And it is. And they're still going at it. So good for them, I suppose. But
this is incredible TV. I really enjoyed this stuff. Just to put a note there.
To see Peter's mom basically scold Madison.
Yeah.
Was breathtaking.
It's great. Never seen.
And I did not expect
I've
it.
Never seen anything like that.
Is it okay for me to say that I feel validated in my early opinions of Peter's mom, that
yeah.
She is putting on a show, She loves being on TV. She made a lot of every chance she could. She had. She made this situation about herself.
She forced her way onto this show.
Absolutely. Under the guise of, I love my son so much. Absolutely. But really, this was not about how much she loves her son. It was about who makes the decision in this household. And it's Barbara Weber. And I feel bad saying that. You're supposed to, you know, I don't know this woman.
I don't feel bad. I think she's got ulterior motives. She's got other motives. I don't know what she's trying to get out of this, whether it be some sort of acting career or what. But something else is here, and you are completely right, Rim.
Thank you. Period. That's what I wanted to hear. Well, you know, she's a nice lady on TV who cares for her son. Those are facts. But that is not. She is not a. That does not make everything she says okay. I guess. I mean, there are moms who, like you said, have ulterior motives. Have you heard of Chris Kardashian? There are people who see these opportunities and want to strike and leverage them for themselves. And I think that's kind of, I feel like that's a vibe I got from Barbara. She wants to make her hot sons who love the f- and just get and get them a TV show. Yeah. That's what she wants.
I hear you. She wants a Weber's TV show. That's a fact.
She wants a Weber's TV
that's
show.
That's a fact.
If I were in Peter's family, I would see pretty clearly, okay, maybe you and Madison, not the best match. It doesn't appear to line up long term.
Lives don't match up.
That's fine.
Sure.
It happens every season on this show. But Madison is not an awful human being who is going to ruin his life because he doesn't go line dancing 4 days a week.
His mom, I don't think you mentioned this, but they all sit down to talk after, to debrief.
We're about to.
Okay.
It gets even, my criticism gets even harsher.
So does
from
mine.
Here, AB.
Okay, so okay. Does mine.
Okay, I feel. Take our opinions again. Remember the disclaimer at the beginning of the show. Take our opinions with a grain of salt. I'm sure there's a chunk of people listening who disagree with everything we've said on this episode. And that's fine. People view things differently. Different opinions. Can you tell I'm scared of what I'm about to say? Peter with his mom. Okay, they sit down to chat. Just Peter and his mom before the full family. Barb immediately starts. Madison's gone now. It was a cold exit.
Cold exit. Didn't see it.
Yeah, I don't remember it. Barb immediately starts crying and pulls Peter in for a hug. You'll note her face was behind his.
She positioned it so her face was in the camera. That happened multiple.
No. She's crying. Then she pulls him in for a hug. As soon as she starts crying,
her face goes into his.
Her face goes behind his face.
Okay, so you can't see if she's really crying.
So you can't see if she's really.
I see where you're
crying.
Going there. Okay, just making sure. I didn't note this, so I wanted to make sure I was following.
I noted it.
So you're saying
I noted
she
it.
Put her head where it could not. Her face where it could not be seen on what was happening.
Just something I noted.
Okay, noted.
She's boo-hoo-hooing. She's blubbering, and Peter, I think, was surprised by what was happening. He's like, what's going on? Why are you crying? Why are you crying? Madison just left and you're crying a puddle of tears. Well, that's a euphemism. There was no puddle
of
tears because Peter pulls away and she immediately wipes her eyes and then looks at her fingers to confirm that there's liquid, which there is not. And then immediately says in her completely regular voice after, you know how when you're crying,
oh,
like
it takes a minute.
She was
you got to take a minute.
She was
you're
doing
breathing
that
hard.
And you're like,
yeah.
You can't.
If you're actually crying, you can tell with the voice.
Snaps into her regular voice. She goes, she's not there for you. She's not there for you about Madison.
I'm just.
Go ahead.
Where does that come from?
What makes you say that?
Why? Because she didn't, I mean.
Here's why. In the few moments during which you allowed her to speak, Madison stood up for herself and made it clear she wants what's best for Peter and hopes that that is a life with her because she loves him. But here's kind of where I stand on some things. And that to Barb took that as she is not here for Peter, which is a big leap to make. Usually the you're not here for someone on this show means you have no interest in the lead and you have completely ulterior motives.
Exactly.
That's not the vibe I think Madison put off. I don't think anyone would have perceived it that way.
No.
What did you make of this part, AB? Her big concern, basically, is that Madison is too religious, and now she's using the Lord.
I said a prayer for you.
I think God has answered my prayers and put her and Anne right in your path.
He has an angel waiting for you, Rim.
That was the quote of the century, I think. She said, Madison is a sweet girl, a lovely girl, which she doesn't mean.
No.
But Hannah Ann is an angel on earth. And AB, she didn't emphasize angel on earth. She simply said it as if it were a fact she uncovered. Oh, I met her. This person is actually an angel on earth. Why would you not marry this person? That's her view right now. This is, what did you think of this, AB?
I just took this all as a show, Rim. It's all a big show here. There's nothing that we saw that could give them this strong of an opinion either way on either person.
Yeah, they were not that different.
These meetings. Yeah, they're both nice girls. You didn't really get into a lot. The only negative about Madison is your lifestyles might not match up. It's not anything negative about her as a person. And they're acting like they're two wildly different. You know, one's a villain almost. Yeah. That's trying to ruin their
break
son.
Break up the family.
Yeah, this just all seemed like an act put on by Mrs. Weber.
Not a parent, but it seems to me, I've been around them. It seems to me like good ones probably provide some guidance and perspective rather than stomping their feet and making the decision for their adult child on the show.
And I think Peter was in our boat. Like, what the hell's going on right now with my family? Why are they acting like this? I brought you here for a little light,
some hors d'oeuvres.
A little light advice, you know, a little meet and greet with the couple girls I'm thinking about marrying. It's really not your decision, and I'm going to take it.
Maybe you misunderstood the point of this meeting, Mom.
This isn't to win you over, and it is not your choice. So I don't need the theatrics.
You know, maybe Peter felt like it was Madison needs to win them over. Because before they went in, after Maddie said what she said about, I might have loved you last week, he did say, let's go in there and tell them that. Which is not...
Yeah, that was weird.
That's not relevant information. Of course, he thinks it is because the first question his mom asked when she sat down in Australia was, who said I love you?
I think Peter messed up again in a season full of mess ups by even bringing this up. His family didn't need to know this fight. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
If me and Kendall have a fight about something, I'm not bringing it up to my family and friends. That's between us. It gave the family a negative idea about her. Like, anytime that you're in a fight, they're going to take his side, even if he's in the wrong.
Of course.
So yeah. I don't understand why he even brought that up to begin with. He would have had a much better chance of her winning. She had already won them over, in fact.
Yeah.
So if you had not said that, you would have got a real idea on where your family sits on these two people.
Imagine being Madison and watching this, AB. I mean, the scenario that Peter asks for Madison back tonight on After the Final Rose, before this episode, I would have guessed that Madison would accept that and they live happily ever after. But now it's like, you cannot go into that family.
No.
You actually cannot be in a long-term relationship with Peter.
No, because the bridges are
burned.
They
don't accept you.
The bridges are burned,
and Mom burned the bridges.
She basically had a voodoo doll out. Poking it, a Madison voodoo doll. It almost went that far with her.
I didn't laugh because I was like, I had to ask myself, she might have actually had to question, like, I don't remember that. It's possible.
It's possible. She almost went that far.
Anyway, they cut to Peter again, not really like talking to his mom. He's just like, all right, you know,
all right,
break
pull it together.
Like, all right,
she's sobbing.
I don't want to be
she's
part of this
sobbing
scene.
On his shoulder.
Sobbing. Sure.
Yeah, air quotes.
When they cut to the commercial, the audience was clapping, but people's jaws were on the floor, and there was a murmur among the crowd. They're like, what? Can you believe this? And here's when I got kind of nervous about this show we're doing, because back from the break, Chris asks the audience, how many people agree with Peter's mom speaking her truth and being so honest, which is an interesting way to classify her behavior. About a third of the crowd clapped.
Are they cheering?
About a third of them cheered.
Wow.
Now, the people who thought maybe she could have kept her opinion to herself, they were louder.
I think
but
that's,
about a third of the crowd.
That might just
like,
be what? Polite crowd etiquette. Not everyone.
And that's why we can't get the invite, AB, because we'd have booed.
I know. We'd have booed. I know. The people there aren't doing a good enough job of
holding them to
it
account.
It should be way more rowdy in there, for one.
It should be
a boisterous crowd in there.
Yeah.
Just exploding
like
with
it
energy.
It should be Monday Night Raw. Yeah.
It should be a buzz at all times. And when he asks a question like that, it should be going bananas. But it's just a light, you know, tepid applause most of the time, even if it's something they like.
We try to be respectful on this show. That crowd, you know, take the gloves off.
I need,
a little
more, less respect.
Later, Peter with his family, and this is what you were talking about before. I cannot believe how long we've gone. I wanted this to be a half hour.
Yeah,
we haven't
you said
even
half
gotten
hour
to the
40 minutes. That's how you.
That's what I said.
That's what
that's
you
what
said
I
to me.
You.
That's what you promised.
That's how I sold the doing this
you
to you.
Sold
I was like,
me.
Yeah, it'll be fine, AB.
You
20
sold
minutes.
Me. I wasn't going to do this.
The dates. We're going to talk about the dates for 5 minutes. Okay, I promise.
Okay.
Later, Peter and his, the family is what this episode was about. Okay?
Absolutely. That's what needed to be brought up.
Later, Peter and his, and I think if we did it on Wednesday, we'd gloss over it. It wouldn't have the same juice.
You're probably right.
Peter and his family. Peter tells him, hey, I'm crazy about Madison. And I took that as he was making it clear he wanted to choose her. His family, incredulous. This reminds me very much, his mom says, of you last season was with Hannah B. And she went and picked the wrong person. And now you have a perfect girl right in front of you, and you're going to risk that? Okay, so number one, it is revealed that Barb doesn't even like Hannah B., which is
crazy.
Apparently, Peter is Hannah B. in this scenario.
I didn't
they
know
think
where
Madison is Jed.
Yes.
And Hannah Ann is Peter, the perfect one. She's implying that Peter on Hannah B.'s season was Hannah Ann, the perfect candidate.
Peter is the perfect candidate who is right for Hannah. Hannah made the biggest mistake of her life not choosing him. That's where she was going with this.
Yes. And now Hannah Ann is this season's version of Peter, and because she's perfect.
Peter got third, right? Am I?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
He was behind Tyler.
Who's the actual perfect candidate. Maybe she was talking about Tyler. No. She didn't specifically say Peter.
She's obviously a huge fan
of the
show.
I don't know if she specifically said Peter. Maybe she's talking about Tyler, who I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
It's a perfect candidate.
Actually hilarious. I wish we knew what she really meant. Even his brother is like, why are you so dumb? Just pick Anna Ann. I mean, obviously.
It's obvious.
This did not strike me as a supportive environment.
No.
It was more like they were steering him to their choice rather than guiding him in good faith. They're doing some Jedi mind tricks. Like, no, you don't want
how about
Madison.
Had that been me, let's talk about it. What do you like about Madison? Because we obviously only got, 2 hours here together. We only got 2 hours with it. What do you like? Because what I saw, I would choose Hannah Ann, but explain to me why you think Madison is a good choice. Maybe give me some more details. But no, it's not that. It's just force him into choosing who they want.
Maybe they just know what makes good TV, and it's pressure cookers. And that's what they put him in at every turn. Peter says, hey, you guys just met these two, all right? Relax.
Everyone relax in here.
And they basically laugh in his face. Peter made it seem like, I don't know, I like Madison too. And Peter's brother was like, huh?
Are you kidding me?
He was like, what, Madison? Idiot? I hear you guys, but you have to trust me. You haven't been dating them the last 2 months.
He's right.
What do you think Barb's response to this was? She cried, AB. She broke down and cried because her son asked her to trust
him. Irrational emotion is her response.
A simple request to respect his point of view on something he knows way more about and will affect the rest of his life, and it's to cry because she doesn't like what he said. This is the moment we've been waiting for, AB.
The cherry on top of her delicious performance.
A true performance for the ages.
It really was.
This is the bring her home moment. All season, we've been looking forward to this. You want me to do the quote? I'm not going to do an impression. I can't do that, and I feel like it would be mean-spirited. I'll just say the quote in my voice. Hannah Ann loves you with all her heart. I might slip into an impression.
I was hoping you would.
I can't do Don't Let Her Go. I mean, I can't do it. Don't Let Her Go.
Just put in the
Don't Let Her Go.
Put in the audio.
Bring her home. Bring her home to us. and we will welcome her with open arms. We will welcome her with all the love in the world. Pause. This means we would not welcome Madison.
That's exactly what that means.
She's a dream. If you thought that was outrageous enough, she went higher. She's a dream come true. This person, this girl she met for 20 minutes. And God placed her here for you. That's what love stories are made out of. Someone is so madly in love with you. And to my shock, Peter was not swayed by this whatsoever. What'd you make of this, AB? In his reaction in particular, not just Barb, but his reaction.
At this point, I'd had enough. His SpongeBob meme, I'm a head out after this one. Like, I can't with her crying like that. It just didn't. It reeked of fakeness and putting on for the cameras. I just can't believe she acted like this. I just can't. I really couldn't believe it. I thought that moment was going to be after he had let someone go.
Yeah.
Late in the season and was left with no one, like, go get her. He hasn't even made his decision yet. This was...
Hannah Ann was not off the
table.
She
wasn't off the
table
yet.
And she said this because Peter said, hey, respect my choices. And this was her reaction.
Two great girls. Okay. Madison's great. She's one of the best contestants we've ever had. She seems like a true sweetheart, genuine, down to earth.
Peter is in the catbird seat.
All Madison did, just to reiterate, was ask him not to sleep with other women a week before they got engaged. A very reasonable request. That's all. That's the only thing that was done to Mrs. Weber's baby boy.
Can you imagine? Now, most people are not in a scenario where they're choosing between two women to get engaged to, you know, tomorrow. But can you imagine your mother or my mother reacting this way
to anything?
Number one, to anything.
Like, if I showed up with a absolutely awful companion for me that didn't match up at all, it wouldn't.
A person just released from prison for murder.
I don't think that would trigger any sort of reaction like this.
No, it would be. This was unimaginable. I can't believe this occurred. In fact, Peter's reaction, I loved it.
This was
my favorite moment of the season.
I did too.
Because Peter said, you got to stop doing this.
Yeah,
He said, you got to stop doing this like 5 times. And it was not, you got to stop. He tried to save it with, you know, you're making this really hard on me.
Yeah.
But he was saying, you got to stop acting like this for the cameras. That's the That's what he was saying.
Like, this is ridiculous. You're acting ridiculous.
You're acting ridiculous.
I can't believe you're doing this to me.
Get it together. You're acting insane. This is not who you really are. And then Barb goes, I'm crying. Can't you see I'm crying? Should we do another take? I mean, she almost looked at the producers like, do I have to redo the cry?
Is there not tears coming down my face? Real tears.
It's just not good enough.
Better.
I mean, am I not selling it? When he calls her out, okay, she wipes. I'm going to do the wipe here, AB. She did wipes hard, completely full under the lower eyelids, okay? And this is a technique so that it's feasible that there would be no tear residue left after the wipe. She squeegeed them.
You got to do a big wipe to erase any evidence of you crying or not crying.
Exactly. She did the big wipe because she wasn't crying.
Yeah.
I mean... roll back the tape. If you don't believe me, show me a tear and my mind will be changed, but they're not there. And then Peter says, you're destroying me right now. You're pushing me. You have no idea. He almost rolls his eyes though. And he said, this is insane right now.
They're both good girls. Neither of them deserve this reaction from you is basically what he said.
Finally, his mom says, I trust you. I trust you with all my heart.
Really?
Which is not...
Your actions have shown the exact opposite of trust.
To the camera, Peter says he wants Maddie more than anything,
I was sold at this point. As long as Madison's down, this is the winner still.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not even close.
Like it or not, Peter's family, and his mom specifically, are now major characters in this drama. Because here's the storyline now. Will Peter follow his heart or obey his mom? That's the storyline we're left with right now.
And you have this a lot of times. It's happened plenty of times before where the family doesn't has an opinion, but it's never been this strong in the past. So, yeah, they had this narrative and it was on steroids. Like, they basically said, we will not welcome her into our family. One of the two contestants. A really nice girl.
Completely respectful.
Respectful.
Of everyone.
So respectful. Attended your 31st, your farce of a wedding anniversary vow renewal on your 31st wedding anniversary.
That's bad. That's mean, but it's true. I mean, it's been an hour plus.
Yikes.
Peter and Madison's date was extremely eventful. And we haven't gotten to it yet.
Nope.
But I think we have to briefly go over what happened here. Because it wasn't. And then we'll basically skip Hannah Ann's date. So their date is middle of the outback. They take a helicopter ride around Uluru.
Beautiful.
Formerly known as Ayers Rock. Obviously breathtaking. Top of the rock, it'd be almost a quarter mile above ground. Once in a lifetime stuff. Big rock.
It was beautiful. We can try to go fast through this date, but we need to do this setting justice. It was incredible scenery. Something, I mean, once in a lifetime stuff here.
This is a landmark. This is like one of the first landmarks you learn about when you're a kid. Yeah. Natural landmarks. You're like, wow.
Incredible.
The big rock in Australia is unbelievable.
Incredible.
And the fact that it's like impossible to get to, this is truly once in a lifetime opportunity. Anyway, they're hanging out later after that. Peter pours some sparkling apple juice. I think Madison doesn't drink.
Yeah, they giggled like there was something there. I didn't realize that. Must be the case.
It hasn't been talked about. It must be the case. And I also think maybe that colors what just happened with his family a little differently, too. Like, you know, Peter drinks. You don't drink. How's, you know what I mean? They might have even, there might have been a little
bit
of that.
That's what his brother
too.
Was probably referring to. But yeah, we hadn't heard that.
The bugs, absolutely overwhelming.
Yeah.
The most serious conversation.
What's going on here with the bugs? Can we get one of those candles that you do? What are those called? The candles?
Citronella candles.
Citronella, yeah. Can we get a citronella out here?
I wouldn't mind it. Here's the thing about citronella. The bugs basically, and maybe there's an old wives' tale, they basically only avoid where the smoke is directly. So there's like a thin.
Oh, I disagree. Really, I disagree.
No,
hard disagree.
You know what you need? Absorbine Junior. This is an old golfer trick. You put it under the brim of your hat. The bugs won't come near you.
Neither of them are wearing a hat.
Well, you could dab it on your neck, too.
That's not romantic.
Well, better than nothing. And they had nothing. And they were getting eaten alive.
Getting eaten alive. It's facts.
Madison kind of starts to reveal that she's going to leave. She says a good warrior knows when to surrender. And Peter's like, hey, you know, that's weird. What changed since you were willing to say yes to a proposal to me? And she says it all changed that night and everything that's happened since that night. I wouldn't want you to feel like you have to change any of that for someone you don't want to be with. I don't know we're the best for each other. AB, what do you make of Madison essentially having a change of heart here? She says she was on board. You know, she's a couple times she's voiced her concerns and chose to move forward anyway. And now she's bailing.
She didn't specifically come out and say it, but I think the family got to her. A couple of them brought up the religion and said that, Peter, that's not his life. I think she got more information about how their lives are completely different outside of the show. And that, on top of him already making her very mad and doing something that she didn't know if she could get over, pushed it over the edge.
I think I agree. I think it's the cynical view would be that she knew she was going to do this the whole time. She knew when he weaseled out of the religion question early on that it wasn't going to work, and she just stuck around for the followers. I mean, that's a possible cynical scenario.
As a Maddie apologist,
I was going to go there.
I disagree.
Yeah.
And I think
that's possible.
Not possible with Maddie. That's not what she's about, Rim. Let's just look at it from the outside. She asked him to not do something very serious. He did it. She then wasn't sure if she was going to give him a second chance, but
she's going to go along with it. And then she gets attacked by his mom.
Yeah.
And
didn't help.
They tell her that basically what Peter said about religion isn't true. Like, he's not even willing. He has nothing to, it has nothing to do with him.
They don't want
in his
him
life
to change,
and they don't want him to change. Yeah. Like, had a bad time. Why would that, that'd be enough to turn her away from the relationship completely.
I respect how she doesn't say whatever she thinks the lead wants to hear just so she can win. Because, you know, if you do take the cynical view, if she was willing to go this far,
she could have won.
She could have just accepted the final rose. They could have hung out for a while and then they could have broke it off, you know, 6 weeks after it aired or whatever, and then reaped all the benefits of that. There's two people left. She's a 50% better than 50% chance at winning The Bachelor, for lack of a better term. And she's dipping out because she doesn't think a fruitful marriage is a possible outcome. Not everyone would make that choice.
Absolutely not.
So for what it's worth, respect on that end. Anyway, they break up. They hug.
It's over.
He walks her to the car. Yeah. They drive off. The goodbye, not as cheery as I expected, honestly. No. I figured Peter would be more shocked and upset. He seemed more bummed than heartbroken.
He's bummed.
Anything else on that?
No.
All right. We probably didn't treat that with the gravitas it deserved, but we got to go. I want to get this out before the episode airs. Okay. The next day, Peter and Chris talk. It's completely uneventful. Peter never surrenders, though. Day after that, Hannah, Ann, and Peter, daytime date. Do you just want me to read what occurred, or do you want to even talk about it?
Well, Chris shows up first. You going to talk about Chris?
I already talked about it.
Oh, okay.
I said it was uneventful, and I moved on. That's how much I talked about it.
I found it funny when he showed up and he said, I heard what happened. I found that kind of funny. Hey,
you
bud.
You blew it, huh?
I heard you blew it. Anyways,
playing
go
golf
ahead.
All week.
I haven't talked. I have no idea. Who's left? Heard you blew it.
You didn't bring Victoria here, did you? That'd be crazy. Hannah Ann and Peter, daytime date. Hannah Ann loves Peter. She goes with the no leg rep hug because she's trying to be like Maddie after she senses Maddie passed her up. Their date is hanging out with baby kangaroos. It was just cute. But obviously, Uluru from the air is what dreams are made of. Actually, what dreams are made of.
These kangaroos are really cute, though.
Probably good animal therapy for Peter to get over his crushing heartbreak that just occurred. Peter, to the camera, describes how he would feel confident choosing Hannah Ann every day for the rest of his life, but there was no enthusiasm in these words. I don't know if you picked up on that.
No, the guy, you can tell.
I can't wait to be with Hannah Ann forever.
You can tell he's dead inside. He really was. I just didn't know what was going to... At this point, when Hannah left, or when Madison left, I was convinced he is not going to find love. There's no question in my mind. He liked Madison more. I just was worried about what he was going to do to Hannah, because Hannah seems like a good girl too, and now she's going to get heartbroken.
Hannah Ann says, I'm holding your heart. I'll be the last one to hold your heart.
No, you're not.
There's a lot of... I agree with what you're saying about Hannah Ann, but she does say what she thinks is going to get her the W. Like...
Yeah.
To kind of... That was almost like a threat, like, no one else is going to have your heart. And he's like, oh. All right. Nighttime date. Peter completely underdressed at Hannah Ann's suite. She's got a gorgeous dress on, fancy. And Peter is wearing what I'm wearing now, which is casual to say the least. Hannah Ann emphasizes, hey, you know, I love you. Peter can't reciprocate because he's still broken up about Madison. Doesn't even really smile. And says, my heart is being pulled in two directions. What'd you make of that,
Ian? Yeah. Just Peter saying something dumb to someone he didn't need to say it to.
Why was that dumb?
It's just not something she needed to hear. She knows it. You don't have to say you love. Okay. I love two people. It doesn't need to be said. Like, I think it's implied that he has a tough decision coming up. I think it's always best for them to completely separate their relationships. Don't bring that stuff up. It reminds them that, yeah, this shit's crazy. I love someone that probably doesn't love me.
Ignore the decision. Yeah. Understand that it's coming tomorrow, but ignore that.
Let them ignore it. Let the other person not have to be reminded of it, at least. Especially on your last night.
But I guess I thought this was telling because he no longer is making a decision between Hannah Ann and Madison. Madison is gone. So for him to say my heart is being pulled in two directions, the other direction is gone.
That's a good point. So, yeah.
And his heart's still being pulled there. So the fact that that's the case lets me know that Hanan was never going to be the person he was going to choose in the end here. Anyway, she's crying, you know, hoping Peter chooses her. Peter, on his way out, says, "Thank you for being a rock for me." Then he gets up to leave. They don't even kiss until they're at the door saying goodbye. See you tomorrow. And so will we. AB, anything else on that date?
No.
With Hanan?
No.
Anything else on this
episode? I feel bad for her.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
What's your prediction for tonight?
I don't know, because Chris keeps saying even Peter doesn't know how this is going to end. And
well,
this
is that into your prediction.
This is the most... I think something's happening. I don't think it...
Say it.
I don't know.
Come up with a scenario.
I can't. Chris has thrown me off with what he says. I can't even... What's the wording that he uses? It'll be one of the most controversial and shocking endings to a season we've ever had. What could that possibly be?
You got to stop listening to the adjectives.
There's nothing controversial that could possibly happen with these two people.
No. It's not. Controversial is going to have nothing to do with it. And neither will shocking.
That's why I'm confused.
Frankly.
It has to be.
Where are you putting any weight into the adjectives
when
that
Chris says
use?
Something, I listen, Rim.
I'm doing less and less of that.
If I had to make a bet on it, I would say Madison is not done.
Well, because he said that. You want a real prediction here?
What do you mean
with
he
some
said that?
Behind
who,
it.
Peter?
He said, no, Chris says you haven't seen the last of Madison. Did you get to that part?
No, I didn't watch that part. I don't watch that.
It wasn't the preview. It was him talking about what's coming up on the next episode.
Oh.
He said you haven't seen the last of Madison. He made it very clear what's going to happen.
I didn't see that part. I thought that was going straight to the commercial. So then, yeah, if he said that, then I'm going to say Madison is still... the winner. I don't know. I don't really believe that.
Embarrassing prediction from AB. Here's what I think. In Australia, Peter's ready to propose to Hanan. He's convinced himself he wants to propose to Hanan. Then gets word from Chris that Madison is back. Okay? And he doesn't propose to either, and instead asks Madison if they can go. It's the Cassie and Colton ending. Ask Madison if they can go steady like Colton and Cassie. Then tonight he proposes live. This is the best case scenario for him that I can think of. And maybe they say, oh, Madison and, you know, the family, we get along now and it's all fine.
I still don't think he's ending up with someone.
I don't think so either.
I don't see how it would work out. Yeah, that's my prediction. End of it.
All right. Thanks for listening. Hope to get this out soon. Talk to you tomorrow. Excited.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.